Somebody shout hallelujah. That's the highest praise you can give Him. Say it again. From the depth of your heart, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, I love You, Jesus. Bless Your holy name. Praise God. What a wonderful presence of the Lord that is here already on this first evening. While I was sitting here with the ministry, asking God to give me direction not only for tonight, but to fine-tune direction for the entire week, I felt like God spoke to me. I'm very careful when I say I feel like God spoke. But I feel like God spoke to me that if we would get in one mind and one accord, that He would allow the supernatural to take place among us in this youth convention. I feel like God let me know that there could be things happen here among us this week. Things like we've never ever seen before in our lifetime. Oh, I don't know about you, young person, but I am hungry. I'm hungry for a genuine apostolic move of the Holy Ghost in my life. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord forever. I am so impressed with what I have seen and heard here this evening. And I'm talking about you young people. I've known these ministers that are on the platform for a long time, many of them literally for years, and I love them and appreciate all of them. Appreciate Brother Claiborne, your youth president, and all of his staff and the great job they're doing. But the thing that I am the most impressed with tonight is this magnificent group of young people that are here to worship God, I believe, with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Hallelujah. I would assume that they rent this building out for all sorts of functions. Probably been a lot of speakers here. Probably been a lot of bands and a lot of groups here. Some of those wild bands, they probably jumped and juked and jived and run and hopped and hollered and all of that. I don't think we ought to let anybody outdo the apostolics. What do you think? Hallelujah! Oh, I love Jesus Christ. And I love lifting Him up. I love lifting Him up. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. And the church that I pastored for 15 years before going to St. Louis, I had a little rule in the church there, and the rule was real simple. The rule was, you're not allowed to dance with the choir if you don't dance with the preacher. If it takes a beat of a drum and a honky-tonk piano to get you to wave your arm and stomp your feet, I question your salvation. I got a feeling I'm in the midst of a bunch of young people that are here because they love God. I believe you love the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. I was youth president in the state of Virginia, probably the youngest youth president ever elected to sit on the general youth board. I was only 21 years old when I was elected as youth president of the Virginia district. I was youth president until I was 31 years old. 10 years total, I sat on the general youth board. I got off of the youth board because I felt at age 31, I'm age 40 now, just turned 40. At age 31, I thought, I can't relate to young people anymore, so I got off the youth board. And I turned down youth camps, and I've turned down youth conventions, and I've turned down youth meetings for years. This is my very, very first youth convention to do for years, right here. Now, I think it's only fair to tell you why I have accepted this youth convention. I'm going to this one. I'm going to a youth convention in Florida and one in Louisiana this year. The reason I have accepted going to these youth conventions is because I have been praying that God would unleash a revival among young men and young women of our fellowship. That God would raise up some 16-year-olds that are anointed to preach the gospel. That God would raise up some 17s and 18s and 19s and 20-year-olds that'll sell out. Hallelujah! I believe standing before me is the greatest army, the greatest potential army of apostolic believers in the whole state of California. You're gathered here tonight, and there is so much potential in this place. It's unbelievable what you and I could do if we would make our mind up. We're going to leave Youth Convention 1998 different than we came. We're going to leave here to turn our world upside down for Jesus. Anybody want that? I said, is there anybody here that wants that? Don't tell me. Put both your hands in the air and tell Him, I want it. I want it. God, I want my life to count. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He kato yoda bahashata. He landai alabohoshe katatayada bahandai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Joel, chapter 2. I don't suppose there is a more familiar portion of Scripture in the Old Testament to apostolic people than the second chapter of the book of Joel. I'm going to read. I wish I could take the time to read the whole chapter, but I won't. Let me just read two verses of Scripture. Joel 2, verse 28 and verse 29. The prophet Joel said, and it shall come to pass afterward. Everybody said, it shall come to pass. Not might, maybe, could be, chance of. And it shall come to pass afterward. That I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters. Everybody said sons and daughters. Come on, say sons and daughters. Say, I'm in that prophecy. Come on, say it. I'm in that prophecy. And your sons and daughters shall dream dreams, shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men. Everybody said young men. All the young men say, I'm in the prophecy. And your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out of my Spirit. Acts chapter 2, real quick. Let me just read. Again, I wish I could read several verses, but I'll just read one or two. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Verse 17, the Apostle Peter had just told them, these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. And listen to what he says in verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, everybody said the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My subject tonight is the final generation. The final generation. Father, I feel your presence in this place. There is no doubt in my mind that the anointing of the Holy Ghost is in the house. Father, I've come here with a purpose I believe more importantly, God, You have ordained a very special plan for this meeting. Let Your will be done first and foremost, above and before and beyond everything else. I pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands to Him one more time before you're seated? He's here. I said, He is here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Young people, I know tonight you are aware that you are a part of the United Pentecostal Church International. I don't know how you feel about it, but I hope before the week is over, I can make you feel excited and happy and thrilled about being a part of this apostolic, one God, tongue-talking, holy-believing church. Can you say hallelujah? I want you to know that as this church approaches the next millennium, we are girding ourselves with a determination to take the whole gospel to the whole world. Our vision tonight is not a limited or a small vision, but I believe I am standing among a group of believers, young men and women, who have a vision and a faith to see God pour out His Spirit upon the ends of the earth. Can you shout yes? I believe that we are the generation upon whom the ends of the earth has come. I believe we are tonight gathered here anxiously anticipating an end time apostolic revival of the name. Can somebody say amen? But let me tell you, young people, and let me make it very, very clear to each of you. I believe that the destiny of the United Pentecostal Church International rest upon your actions and upon mine. I believe that the destiny of this great church rest upon your response and your faith to the promises of God. I believe that the destiny of this church, and when I talk about destiny, I'm not talking about what we are. I'm talking about what we might become and where we might go and what we might see accomplished. I believe it is in the hands of young men and women today that are beginning to get a little glimpse into the plan and the purpose and the will of God for the end time, church. Lest you not understand clearly what I believe, let me state it for you very clearly. I believe that the destiny of the United Pentecostal Church is end time apostolic revival. I don't agree with the doomsdayer. I don't agree with the negative prophet. I don't care what the negative attitudes are saying. This church isn't going down. This church isn't going broke. This church isn't going to quit worshiping. We're not going to turn our back on one God. We're not going to turn our back on the Acts 2:38 message. We're not going to turn our back on holiness and separation from the world. I'm telling you, our destiny is bright. Somebody shout, I believe it. You may be seated. As a church, we are experiencing the greatest revival in the history of the apostolic church. And we're experiencing it today. Hello? The greatest days of the church are not behind us. The greatest miracles have not already been seen. The biggest revivals have not already taken place. Hello? You don't have to go back to the second chapter of the book of Acts to find the greatest church in the earth. You don't have to go back to Azusa Street to find the greatest revival. Open up your eyes. We're experiencing the greatest revival that the church has ever known in the earth today. Somebody shout hallelujah. I've heard it all my lifetime. Revival down the road. Revival around the bend. Revival over the next horizon. Revival next year. Revival next camp meeting. Revival after the next evangelist gets here. Revival next decade. Now they're saying revival next millennium. I got news for you, sweetheart. I'm feeling revival in here right now. I feel an outpouring of the Holy Ghost about to take place in the city of Bakersfield. Shout, I feel it. Come on, I feel it. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that when the Lord returns to the earth, the Bible asks the question, will He find faith in the earth? I wish He'd come to Bakersfield tonight. Let me rephrase that. I believe He has come to Bakersfield tonight. And He's here. And He's found faith. I feel faith in the house of God. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like faith coming from a young man or a young woman that's read the promise of God in the book and they say, okay, God, I'm not going to try to explain it. I'm not going to go to the commentaries and try to figure it out. I'm not going to call the Bible hotline and ask Dr. So-and-so what he thinks I ought to think about it. If God said it, I'm going to believe it to the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. If God said it, I'm going to believe it. Somebody shout yes. I made a covenant with God. I hope what I'm about to say doesn't offend you. But I made a covenant with God about 6 years ago. I've grown up in the United Pentecostal Church. My mother brought me to a United Pentecostal Church when I was only 5 days old. You could probably count on one hand the Sundays I've not been in a United Pentecostal Church in my whole 40 years on this earth. It's all I've ever known. It's all I ever want to know. I thank God for the church. But I'll be honest with you and tell you tonight, because I think some of you are at the very place I have been at. I have sat through services where preachers preached on healing, where we wept and we shouted, we waved our arms, we stomped our feet, and then walked out the door without seeing anybody healed. I've been in services where we preached about the Holy Ghost, but nobody got it. I've been in services where we preached about deliverance, but everybody left the way they came. Hello? And about 6 years ago, Brother Young, I went to God in prayer. The only way I know to describe it is I made a covenant with God. I said, God, I'll go anywhere You want me to go. I'll preach anything You put on my heart. I'll do it without fear and without favor of man. I'll do it anywhere, anytime, any place. Whatever You want me to say or do, God, that's what I'll try to do. But here's what I want in return from You, Lord. If You put it on my heart to preach healing. I want to see somebody healed. If you put it on my heart to preach Holy Ghost, I want somebody to get the Holy Ghost. If you tell me to preach deliverance, I want you to deliver somebody. You say, Brother Cunningham, can you be so bold? Can you really do something like that? That old book said all the promises of God are yea and amen. That's a double yes. I said that's a double yes. God's not just saying it'll be okay. God's saying if you'll believe my promises, if you'll believe my word, yea and amen, it's going to happen. I'm going to honor your faith. I'm going to work miracles. I'm going to show you the supernatural if you'll learn to walk in faith. On the day of Pentecost, there were some 120 in the upper room. You know the story well. They had gone there to receive the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. And the Bible said that while they worshiped God, the Spirit fell. And the Bible said there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. 120 in the upper room. But there were thousands outside, and they heard the noise coming from the upper room. Now, we have a lot of scripture in the Bible for worshiping God. But if we didn't have one other verse of scripture in the Bible for making a noise, a joyful noise unto the Lord, that verse right there is enough, where the Bible said they heard them. They were making a noise. They were worshiping the Lord. The Bible said they heard them speaking with other tongues. They must have seen something because they accused them of being drunk. Hello? Probably looked like some of this bunch I had to walk through getting in here tonight. They probably looked about like that. And the Apostle Peter stood to answer their accusation. These men are drunk. The Apostle Peter stood and said, these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour or 9 o'clock in the morning. And here he goes. He said, but this is that. Everybody said, this is that. Come on, say this is that. Say this is that. Say it again, this is that. The Apostle Peter stood and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The Apostle Peter declared, this is it! I don't know tonight if we fully comprehend. I don't know if we fully understand just how bold of a declaration that was for the Apostle Peter to step forward and say, listen, this is what the prophets prophesied about. This is what John the Baptist said is going to happen. He said, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, and he is going to baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. Peter was saying, this is what Jesus spoke of when he told us the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, was going to come. And when the Comforter comes, he's not only going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. He's going to fill you with his Spirit. It was a dangerous declaration. It was a declaration of faith in the promises of God. Nobody else was preaching, Brother John Foster. Nobody else was preaching Holy Ghost. Hello? There had not already been an outpouring of the Holy Ghost down the road that we could use as an example. There was no names to drop. The Apostle Peter couldn't say, folks, Brother Luke has been preaching this. Well, this is what John was preaching the other night. No, he was the first. He was out on a limb. It was a little bit unpopular. It was somewhat dangerous. It was a faith-filled declaration. But something rose up in his heart when he saw that 120 filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he remembered the words of the prophets and the words of John and the words of Jesus. Something began to stir in him. And he stepped out there and said, hey, this is it! This is it! This is it! My God! My God! He was telling them this is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that the prophets foretold. He was telling them this is what you've been praying for. He was telling them this is what you've been anxiously anticipating. He was telling them this is what you've been asking God for. This is it! Now I've said all of that to say this. We are enjoying the greatest revival today that the apostolic church has ever known. There's never been a day like today. Well, three or four of you believe it. There's never been a day like today. The preacher came up to me, and I'm not making fun, but a preacher come up to me and said, oh, Brother Cunningham, I remember when our church buildings used to all be full, standing room only. I said, yes, sir, I do too, when the biggest church building we had would seat about 50 people. Oh, Brother Cunningham, I remember when we used to have revival 7 nights a week. And after several weeks of revival, it's not uncommon to have 40 or 50 get the Holy Ghost. I've been in services already this year where more than 1,500 got the Holy Ghost in one single service. I'm here to tell you there's never been a day like today. You may be seated. In the last 60 days, in services that I've been privileged to preach in, I have seen with my own eyes 1,752 brand new people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In Ethiopia, just last Sunday, they had more than 1 million people gathered together in one place. And when the Holy Ghost fell, 117,000 people were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why don't you holler out the name of your city? Why don't you say, God, if you can do it in Ethiopia, you can do it in Bakersfield, you can do it in Stockton, you can do it in Modesto, you can do it in your town. Hallelujah! You may be seated. About 5 weeks ago, We went to the nation of Thailand, Asia, to have a crusade there. Brother Billy Cole has gone for 31 years as a missionary. They've had revival to a degree around the nation. A tremendous revival across that nation. But at any one time and in one place, they've never had more than 600 people gathered together in one place for a meeting. And they've never had more than 57 people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in one place and in one meeting. This last year, some of us got together and we began to pray and fast. We sent thousands of dollars to Thailand to help provide transportation to bring people to that crusade who needed healing and deliverance and the Holy Ghost and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We arrived in Kampang Phet, Thailand on a Thursday afternoon. The crusade was to begin on Saturday night when they picked us up at the airport on Thursday afternoon. Brother Chayun Watanajan, who is the general superintendent of Thailand, he said, "We've got a problem out at the camp facility." Now remember, the biggest camp we've ever had is about 600 people. But he said, "We've got a little problem out there." He said, "It's Thursday and we already have more than 2,500 people on the campground." People kept coming Friday. They kept coming Saturday. And then on Saturday night, when we got out to the camp, they had to move out of the camp and into a field across the way. And when we pulled up into that field, there was more than 5,000 people that were gathered there to hear the preaching of God's Word. On that first night, the Spirit of God began to move and God began to heal the sick. I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime. I saw blind eyes opened up right before me. I saw the deaf ear open. I saw the dumb tongue begin to speak. I saw people that were carried in there lame go running and walking and leaping out of the service by their own strength and power. We come back Sunday afternoon. Brother Billy Cole preached on Sunday. At the end of his message, he gave an altar call for those that had never received the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. He gave them some instructions. They raised their hands and the Holy Ghost began to fall. And when it was all said and done, we had counted more than 1,500 people that were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, 1,500 filled with the Holy Ghost is a pretty good revival. But you put it in the middle of a Buddhist nation where that every single one of that 1,500 that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost had previously been a Buddhist, an idol worshiper, if you please. But when they heard about the power of the living God, whose name is Jesus, it changed and transformed their life. After the Holy Ghost had been poured out, I've never seen anything like it. That is the greatest miracle I've ever seen in my life in Thailand. I've been in places where many, many more than that have received the Holy Ghost. I've seen as many as 10,000 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in one service. But I've never seen that many Buddhist people turn from Buddhism right straight into serving the Lord Jesus Christ and being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost all at one time. After the Holy Ghost was poured out, Brother Cole turned to one of the ministers on our team there. He said, "Come out and talk to him about being baptized in Jesus' name." About as far as from here to the back wall of this building, there was a river running right through the middle of town. And Brother Cole said, "Find out if we can get them baptized, and we'll just take them over to the river and baptize them." And a preacher got up and preached about 10 minutes about you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus told Nicodemus, except you be born again of water and spirit, you'll never enter into the kingdom of God. I know some people preach water, the charismatics preach spirit, but Jesus said water and spirit. Shall I believe it? I've never seen anything like it. When our preacher was done preaching water baptism to them, he said, over there's the river. He said, I want some of our preachers to go get ready to baptize those that want to be baptized. I watched as that whole crowd of people began to move across that field and disappeared over the hill down toward the river. When I got over to the river, we had about 40 of our preachers that were out in the water, and they were just baptizing one right after another in Jesus' name, until hundreds and hundreds of people had been baptized in Jesus' name. You may be seated. In 1997, everybody said 97. In 1997, the United Pentecostal Church averaged, everybody said averaged, we averaged over 500 people a day being filled with the Holy Ghost in 1997. Every day, more than 500 people were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost in 1997. Now, don't buckle your seatbelt up. Unbuckle it. Are you ready? We're 96 days into the year 2000. And already, or into the year 1998. And already in the year 1998, we have averaged more than 1,200 people a day being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My God. I said, there's never been a day like today. There's never been a day like today. There's never been a church in the earth like the church that's in the earth today. This church isn't dead. This church isn't dying. This church is powerful in the Holy Ghost. This church is full of the Spirit and power of the living God. Somebody shout, I believe it. You may be seated. Now, what does all of the above mean to you? The 3,000 or so young people. Why should we get excited about this being the greatest day the church has ever known? Why should we even concern ourselves with the fact that we're living at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice? That the door is about to shut on a dispensation. Why should we even worry about or think about all these 1,200 a day that are getting the Holy Ghost? Why should that excite me? I'm going to tell you why. Because you are the generation upon whom the ends of the earth has come. You are the final generation. Elbow your neighbor looking right in the eye and say, you are the final generation. Look at your neighbor right square in the eye and ask him the question, do you really believe that God wants to use me and you in this day? Now turn and look him in the eye again and say, yeah, I really do believe he does. Oh my God. Listen to me, young people. I know we hear an awful lot about young people that are fooling around and playing with God and they're not serious. Let me tell you from a 40-year-old perspective, I've got a lot of 40-year-old buddies that are playing around and not taking the things of God serious. This isn't just a young people problem. This is an all people problem. I don't know if all 3,000 of you are going to feel about it like I feel, but I got a feeling that there's hundreds here that feel about it just like I do. I'm not going to be on the outside looking in. I'm not going to be in the bleachers. I'm going to be in the field. I'm not going to be a spectator. Honey, you're looking at a fella that's got his mind made up. I'm going to be a participator in what God is doing in this final generation. Some of you need to talk to God this week. You need to make a new commitment to God. You need to let Him know that things are going to be different from this day forward. I promise, I covenant, I'm never going to be the same again from this day forward, God. If You'll give me another chance, I'm going to present my body to You, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I want to be a vessel of honor for You to use. Sit down. Some of you need to talk to God. And when you're done talking to God, you need to talk to your buddies a little bit. Some of you girls been sitting there all service long beside a boy that's got his mind more on you than he does God. You need to look him in the eye and say, scoot over, Tarzan. I don't want nothing to do with you from this night forward. I've got my mind made up. I'm going to be used of God. Some of you boys, you feel like you got a call of God on your life. And you've been chasing around some little girl already today. And she's more concerned with clipping her hair and putting on a little jewelry and makeup and splitting her skirts and trying to look like the world. You need to tell her, listen, sweetheart, I'm going to be used of God. I'm not going to leave here like I came. I said, I'm not going to leave here like I came. The Bible tells us that if our relationship with God is right, that old things should be passed away. And behold, all things become new. Them things I once loved, I now hate. The things I once hated, I now love. Some of you need to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, I'm going to live for God. I'm telling you, you listen to what I'm about to tell you. I feel like there is a cloud of the Holy Ghost that has rested over this place that is just about ready to explode upon us. My God. The only reason, that I accepted coming to your youth conference was in prayer. I told God, God, if you'll help me, to some way harvest out of this youth convention a significant number of young men and women that will pull out all the stops and give themselves to you. God, if you'll give me that assurance, then I'll go preach this youth conference. You want to be like everybody else? Go ahead. You want to talk like everybody else? Go ahead. You want to look like everybody else? Go ahead. You want to be just a cookie-cutter young person? Go ahead. But if there's something inside of you that says, I'm hungry for the supernatural, if there's something inside of you that says, God, I want to feel your anointing, if there's something inside of you that says, God, I want to be a vessel of honor, then I believe it's time for us to tell Him, God, I want you, and I want a move of your Spirit in my life more than anything. Oh, my God. Sit down just for a minute. The Apostle Peter surveyed the situation. He remembered what Joel said. The last day saith God, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He remembered what Isaiah said. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, and this is the rest and the refreshing wherewith he caused the weary to rest. He remembered what Zechariah wrote. I'm going to take the heart of stone out of them and put in a heart that's after God's heart. I'm going to change them. He remembered what John the Baptist said. He remembered what Jesus had said. He looked around and saw 120 people speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And on the basis of the evidence at hand, that great man of God took a giant leap of faith. Stood in front of a crowd of thousands. Preached a message nobody else was preaching. This is that. Now, young person, hold on. This is what I've come to say to you tonight. There's never been a day like today. There's never been a time when God has poured out His Spirit like He's pouring it out today. There has never been a time when we have seen so many miracles as what we're seeing today. Study what the prophets have said about the end time. Study what the Word of God has to say about the church and the earth prior to the coming of the Lord. And then look at what's happening all around you. I don't expect everybody to do it. But I wonder what would happen in the Western District if a significant number of us would get the faith the Apostle Peter possessed on the day of Pentecost and make our mind up, okay, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care what anybody else feels. I'm fixing to take me a step of faith. I'm going to step out and declare, I believe this is it. I believe this is it. I believe that this is end time apostolic revival. I believe that God is wanting to turn our world upside down. I believe it's time for the church to come out of the chute, so to speak. I believe it's time for the church to come forward and declare the name of Jesus to the ends of the earth. I believe with all of my heart, this is it, church. And I believe that you're not the church of tomorrow. You're not the church of tomorrow. But you are a very, very significant part of the church of right now. Let's all stand together. I want every head to be bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around, please. If you come to this conference backslidden in your heart, if you stand here tonight as a backslider, then I challenge you, get prayed through tonight so that this entire conference could have an effect on your life to where you can leave here and never be the same again. Don't wait till tomorrow night. Don't wait till the next night. Do it tonight. If you're here tonight and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, get it tonight. If you've got to stay here till midnight, get the Holy Ghost tonight. Forget about Kentucky Fried Chicken. Forget about Burger King and McDonald's. If you're here tonight and you feel like God has been talking to your heart, if I were you, I'd turn around at my seat. I'd forget about who was around me. And I'd have myself a prayer meeting with just me and God. And I wouldn't quit praying until I knew I had given it all to Him. If you've been sitting on the sidelines, if you've just been a spectator, why don't you tell God, starting tonight, I'm going to be a participator. I wonder what would happen in the city of Bakersfield if every time a group of you apostolic young people would walk into a mall or walk into a McDonald's or walk into a Burger King. I wonder what would happen if before you order your food, if you'd go to everybody in the restaurant and say, "Hey, do you know Jesus? Will you let me tell you about Jesus?" I wonder what would happen if we'd stand out here at the street corners and stop every car that would let us and talk to them about the Lord. Say, Brother Cunningham, that's radical. We're living in radical times. I want everybody that wants something from God. We don't have any altars down here. Everybody that wants something from God, I want you to turn around and kneel at your seat, right where you are. And from the depth of your heart, I want you to cry out to Him. Oh God, I need you. God, I'm hungry.
Zion is calling me to every day.